Cuckoo.
Cuckoo.
Welcome to Eurofile. I'm Catherine Rory.
I'm Kate Walker.
Hi, Kate.
Hi.
How are you? What's going on?
I'm recovering from New Year's and Christmas.
Yes. Yep. Yeah. I feel it too.
I texted you this the other day, but I was like, I'm literally sick of eating. I'm sick of thinking about it. Mm-hmm. I am sick. I love it, obviously. Adore when I, you know, I love parties. I love everything. I just feel like I've been eating, drinking, consuming for like 2 months now.
Yeah.
Like heavy, heavy ass foods.
I feel it too. And like,
I need a soup.
Like a full breakfast, a
clear
full lunch, and a full
soup.
Dinner. Because like you have access to so many good things or like so many good leftovers. I'm like, oh my God, I have to have this.
I know.
And I'm like,
I know.
My body's like, that era is over. It's vegetable era now. And I'm happy about it.
I know.
Like,
I'm
that
honestly
was delicious.
Like, I don't even want to eat. Like,
yeah.
I cannot think of another meal I have to make for myself. Are you kidding me? No. No, thank you.
Yeah. What did you do for Christmas? What have you been eating?
Well, we did raclette. Which is
perfect.
Contributing to my men's problem I'm having currently.
I love that you do that every year, right?
We do it for Christmas Eve because it's just like, you just kind of do it at your own leisure.
Mm-hmm.
You can pick veggies, like meat, you know, things that you want. It's nice, customizable. Yeah. It's nice. Yeah. I did forget cornichon. And so
that's
literally
the first thing that popped into my mind.
I know. And we had pickle discs.
like bread and butter pickles.
For sandwiches. So we had to do that. I'm like, I really hate everything about this right now.
Yeah,
like it's not the same. Because
mm-hmm.
it's like you spend all this time getting like really nice raclette. Like you get the good baguette. Like you do all the things. Like you make sure you have your nice wine. You know, it's like such an indulgence. It's so fun. Yeah. So nice.
Yeah.
And, you know, you get you spring for the very good prosciutto. It's just like you're doing all the things. And the thing that makes it excellent, the acid you need.
Yes. You need a
in
brine.
Your dish. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Brightness.
Yeah.
With your potatoes and cheese. Yeah. You need.
Okay. Maybe I am still capable of eating because that sounds so good. I want that. Yeah. I want that. I almost suggested that to my family, and I had like a raclette heater.
Yeah, it's a machine.
Like saved.
Yeah.
And I was like, ooh, I'm going to surprise everyone and get this. And then like with all of the meals and things that we ate, like it didn't need
maybe
to happen.
Next year. Yeah.
We did an English roast on Christmas Eve,
those
which was
potatoes.
Great. Like we/my dad really did the most.
Instigated
he researched
that, yeah.
everything. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, you know, Yorkshire pudding. We did some roast beef of sorts. Mm-hmm. Yeah, roasty potatoes. Great onion gravy. That was so good.
Mm-hmm.
Roasted carrots and parsnips. And then a sticky toffee pudding, which was excellent.
Damn.
Yeah. Yeah. It was really good. And
was
but
it
the
steamed?
Only thing.
Did you steam it?
The sticky toffee?
I don't even know how to make that.
I have no idea. I was
none
not
of your
there.
Business.
I was just there to enjoy.
Just ate it.
Just there. Yep.
That is none of my business.
Yeah. And like what's in it? I think it's like dates. Don't know a thing about that. Loved it regardless. And then except the only bummer is there were no leftovers. So then the next day.
That is so annoying. That really is
so annoying.
Peeved.
And you're like you're banking on that because like you're putting so much effort into it. And then like, what do we have for Christmas Day? We're supposed to be laying in our pajamas, eating leftovers, watching Christmas movies. And
Absolutely.
We did not have any leftovers. So I did the roasty potatoes again and carrots and parsnips. And we had like, we each had like one, my mom, dad, and I each had like one Yorkshire pudding left for each of us and like more gravy. But so it was nice. But wow, do those Brits really make that every Sunday? Because that is so much work.
I think the potatoes they do. And then obviously you can make gravy from a packet.
Yes.
And then
I do
at
see
least
that.
The people who I
see
on my TikTok feed.
Me too.
And then they also have, which is what a freaking game changer, already made Yorkshire puds.
Yes. Okay. Yep.
They just heat up
like a
stuffing balls.
Cheesy kale. I've seen stuffing balls. Mm-hmm. Curious what that is. And then I've seen like a cheesy kale situation. It almost looks like a Southern American dish, just like a
cassoulet. I don't want that.
It looks good to me. It looks the
cheesy
good.
Cauliflower thing. Yes.
Yes, I've also seen that.
Cheesy mm-hmm. British kale. I'm sorry. No.
Yeah. No. Okay, fair. I would try it. Happily.
Yeah, you're more into that than me. Like, if I'm doing that, I want my mom's spinach madeleine that's from like Louisiana, and that's spicy as hell, you know.
Yeah. Shall we dive into our topic today?
Let's go.
Okay.
LFG.
So this is gonna be fun. So okay, just strap in. Yeah.
Wow, it's been a while. Like, we did take a little break.
I know. Yeah. Like, I'm so ready to be back in it, though. Like, me too. I miss this.
Me too.
So we're going to Turkey, and we're going to talk. This is true story.
I love that you're doing Turkey, because normally it's me.
Yes, this is your territory because I know you love it.
No, I love it. I love that you're doing it, though. Yeah.
True story of rags to riches, betrayal, murder, love, a simp emperor.
Okay.
And it's taking place in the Ottoman Empire in the 16th century.
Oh, okay.
We're going to talk about a woman named Harem Sultan.
Okay. I don't know anything about
it. Oh, good.
So exciting.
Yeah. And I do think that there is a Turkish, or I don't know if it's Turkish, there is a TV show about her that I saw kind of pop up, but I did not look into this. So, but I saw pictures and I was like, this looks fun.
All right.
So, this woman, Harem, we're going to call her, she used her beauty, her allure, her wits, and intelligence to go from an enslaved concubine to the wife of the Emperor Solomon the Great.
This is literally Josephine.
Yeah. Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah. Yeah. Except, there is totally. It's like very similar.
Okay.
So, Suleiman the Great, we talked about him in another Turkiya episode because his candy maker invented lokum, aka Turkish delight. We touched on him already. So we already love this guy. I don't know about his politics.
Okay.
Can't speak on that. But
okay,
he loved his wife.
Right.
And under him,
very
lokum
big
was made.
Very big discernment.
Yes, to be made. So, of course, this does not start out as a great story because she was an enslaved woman.
Sex worker, okay.
So, and sex worker, yes. Mm-hmm. And I was like, is concubine the right word here? And I looked up other options because I was like, this doesn't feel right. But then, like, another word I could have used was courtesan, but I was like, but she's enslaved. So I was like, I feel like we're just going to go with concubine. And that's what
I don't know the difference, honestly.
Yeah, me neither. Like, courtesan seems like a free woman to me who's like choosing this
life. Right, that seems
sexy. Yeah, yeah.
That seems like she is doing it because it's a path in life.
Yeah, exactly.
Whereas not, you know, it's not a necessity for, you know.
Yeah, she's not being forced upon her.
Yeah.
At birth, her name was either Anastasia or Alexandra, and she was the daughter of a priest born between 1502 and 1506, and she was born in present-day Ukraine. So when I first found out about her, I was like, I told you, Ukraine, because I was and then I started diving into this, and I was like, this is way more Turkish, she was kidnapped as a child.
Oh, God,
Yes. And taken to Constantinople to fetch a high price at a slave market because she was so beautiful. They could have sold her elsewhere, but she was so pretty that they're like, we're going to make more if we bring her to the capital.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Basically. And she becomes the servant of the current Sultan's granddaughter. She was given the Persian name Harem, which means cheerful one. And because she was like of a happy disposition, so they say. Uh-huh. now she's about 15 years old, and she was purchased again by the new Sultan's mother as a gift to him. And this is Suleiman the Great, who would become her husband. 15. Yes, yes, 15. Okay. He had just become Sultan of the Ottoman Empire. She was one of hundreds of enslaved women of the Ottoman harem, which we're also going to talk about because this is very fascinating to me. So
it really is.
This is,
I know nothing about like the way that works.
Yes. Yeah. I learned a lot of new things here, like of how, you know, future sultans are made and like born and the competition. It's pretty,
because it's not like by blood, right? It's like, or it is.
It is, okay. But we're going to get into it. Okay, it's very fascinating. It's very different from any other like Western ways of inheritance.
Then I will just shut up.
So as I said, she was one of hundreds of women in the Ottoman harem, which was home of the Sultan's concubines / enslaved sex workers.
Right.
Mother, aunts, sisters, daughters, and sons. So like his family members also lived in this building. And the kids, his children lived there until the age of 12. And then they were brought elsewhere.
Okay.
And it was in the center of the royal court and had access by a secret entrance. The women of the harem did not leave, but they lived a life of luxury. And it was called the abode of felicity because other than their freedom, which is obviously a major thing, the woman wanted for nothing. Okay. It was a very beautiful space, very luxurious, like tiled and gold and green and blue.
Right.
Like luxurious.
I'm sure it was it would be perceived as a high honor.
Probably. Yeah. And you had access to a lot of things that women of the day didn't. They were educated. They had access to a library of books and scrolls. Mm. They would spend their day doing embroidery and learning how to play instruments, practicing how to dance and sing, and being educated by the older women of the harem. And like only the best food, only the best clothes, musicians always performing for them.
Mm-hmm. Do you know if they're Muslim?
The women weren't.
Okay.
We'll get into this, actually. Okay. So, and like they had no idea the outside world, reality, poverty, hunger, war, illnesses. They don't know anything about that. And they were also forbidden to speak of their lives or emotions to the other women. So we have very little idea of like what they actually thought of their lives. So like, you're like, this actually doesn't sound half bad, but like, who knows?
Yeah.
How, like compared to who's the reality the of the world, like, yeah, exactly. The whole purpose of this harem was for future supply of sultans. This is so fascinating. A sultan wouldn't marry other Muslim women or women from other kingdoms because they didn't want to tie themselves to other families or countries.
That is so interesting.
So to maintain this like elevated separation, they would reproduce via the woman in the harem. And this gave them complete rights over the children. Obviously, like the women did not have any rights.
Right.
And like there are so many women, so there are so many opportunities to father children. Like you don't just have one. Like you could be you could father who knows an unknown amount of kids amongst the hundreds of women in this harem. Per one of my resources, the Quran forbids the enslavement of Muslim people. So the majority of these women were taken from Christian parts of Eastern Europe, Russia, Greece, and North Africa. Yes. And the harem was guarded by castrated men to ensure that only the sultan could be the father of the children.
Right.
And like who had the power in this harem?
Oh, I love
harem?
This shit. I love it.
Isn't it so interesting? So fascinating.
Yeah. I mean, I don't love what's happening. It's just interesting.
Just like a completely different thing that I've ever heard of.
Right.
And the sultan's mother was the kind of like the leader of the harem. So, and she was the one who could like pick and choose, like she could make or break people. She could like point her son towards certain women, kind of like persuade him, mm-hmm. you know, based on how beautiful they are, how smart they are, how mm-hmm. charming.
Yeah. So you want to get in with her, I'm sure.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
Yeah.
There's lots of politics happening, right. I'm sure. Harem, our girl, her striking beauty and unusual red hair caught the attention of Suleiman. And once chosen to be, like, taken to him, she was first taken to the bathhouse and given facials and beauty treatments, and her hands and stomach were painted with henna. And all of her body hair was coated in an arsenic paste and then scraped off with a mussel shell. So I'm assuming...
So it sounds like Nair.
I'm assuming it's some sort of, like, deep cleaning thing going on.
It is so interesting.
Yes. Okay. And once fully cleansed and beautified, mm-hmm. the older women of the harem would congratulate the chosen one and give her tips on how to please the sultan.
Right.
And would dress them in fine clothes and jewels. So this is what harem is now going through. The women who are congratulating her and musicians led her to the sultan and announced her arrival to his chambers. Mm-hmm. And he let her in, and she would, this is icky, bow and then crawl to the foot of his bed.
Yeah.
And then everyone would leave them alone, and the musicians would play outside the door as like while they were privately together in the room. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Usually a woman would stay for a few nights, and then the sultan would move on to someone else because either she hopefully got pregnant or he got bored of her. But harem was no average bitch, you know? She's beautiful. She's smart. She's
right.
charming.
Yeah.
And he would request her again and again and again. And obviously we know she had a cheerful personality. That's why she was given the name harem. Mm-hmm. She was candid, open-hearted, loved poetry, and could like recite ballads. And he loved verse and poems himself. So I think that was like lucky for her. Or maybe she knew that. Maybe someone told her that. Like, you know. Yeah. And he named her his favorite, which sparked jealousy amongst all the other women in the harem.
Course. Yeah.
Particularly with his old favorite, Mahidevran was her name. And Mahidevran was the mother of his eldest son, Mustafa. Mm-hmm. And so, like, she's like, great, I'm threatened. I'm now feeling threatened by harem. And once harem, you know, left the sultan, she like attacked her, essentially calling her spoiled meat, and she hit her and scratched her face. And the next time the sultan called for harem to come back, she was like, no, I'm not worthy of you. Like Mahidevran was like getting in her head. And you know, he was like, no, like when I say you come, you come. And when he saw her like scratched and bruised and hit, that just like put her even higher in his graces. Like, oh, all the women hate you. Like, you poor, beautiful creature.
Yeah. Well, that worked that, in like, her
sealed,
favor.
Yeah, that sealed her fate, basically.
Right.
So, of course, they're laying together. She's going to have some kids. So her first child by him was a son, which, again, like sealing her security, essentially. Mm-hmm. And his name was Mehmed. Mm-hmm. And so this is more fascinating, like, inheritance laws here.
Okay.
So when a sultan died, it would not automatically go to, like, his oldest first son. Mm-hmm. Instead, all of the sons had a right to inherit. And they would race against each other to gain power and support from, like,
wild.
Maybe they're war heroes. Maybe they're, like, really smart and, like,
that is known just politically. A recipe for war and disaster.
Yes. And whoever came out on top would be the next sultan, and all of his brothers would be strangled. Just killed. Just all every one of them. Like, what if he died young? And or like, what if some? I'm just like, this is like, there's no security here anymore. It seems it's very fascinating. Isn't. And there was a law that, like, one mother to one son, you cannot have several children by one woman. I don't know why. That's just what you did. But of course, he was in love with her, captivated by her. Mm-hmm. And over 5 years, she gave birth to 6 children. So 5 sons and 1 pregnant daughter. The entire time. Yeah, pregnant the whole time. Sounds really fun. And there were rumors going around that she's like a witch because why is he so obsessed with her? Like, this is very unusual. Usually, you know, 1 mother, 1 son, boom, done.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Here's a little poem. Remember I said this man's a simp. He loves her.
Love
her.
And
here's a poem that I shortened a little bit that he wrote for her. Throne of my lonely niche, my wealth, my love, my moonlight, my most sincere friend, my confidant, my very existence, my sultan, my one and only love, my springtime, my merry-faced love, my daytime, my sweetheart, laughing leaf, my plants, my sweet, my rose, the only one who does not distress me in this world. I'll sing your praises always. I am happy.
Wow. Just
love. You know, we get
obsessed.
What are you doing? Are you up? And this is what the Sultan was saying.
Yeah.
Love.
I know.
Love.
Oh, I love that.
And 14 years after their first night together, he shocked everyone by freeing her and marrying her in a grand ceremony. And she was elevated to the level of Empress consort. Yeah, she did it. She was an enslaved woman. Mm-hmm. She did the impossible, basically. Mm-hmm. And he's like breaking laws for her, like changing laws in order to do this.
The bar is, well, it's low, but it's quite high for this man.
Yes. And she was given an allowance of 2,000 aspers a day. Don't ask me what that is now, but
okay, she
made her
at least
the wealthiest woman in the empire.
Okay. Well,
and obviously the people of the empire and even foreigners were stunned to hear that this like now once enslaved woman was now empress. Mm-hmm. And she moved into apartments next to her husband's, breaking another law that was made 100 years earlier, that no woman should be allowed in the building where government affairs were conducted. So,
oh yeah,
she's breaking glass ceilings left and right.
Left and right.
Mm-hmm. She now had great influence on politics. She built up her own political and diplomatic relationships, particularly with the ruler of Poland, which is where technically she was born in present day Ukraine, but it was then Poland.
Mm-hmm.
And she was instrumental in making the Polish-Ottoman alliance, which was like peace between the two powers.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
And she was known in Europe by the name Roxolana. So that's mm-hmm. how I first heard about her. Cause I was looking up like strong Ukrainian women is kind of where I wanted. And that's how I found her. Yeah. and I think it's like a reference somehow to her homeland name.
Okay.
But she built mosques, fountains, schools, bathhouses, a woman's hospital.
Rich people used to do that.
Can you imagine? The second I have money and power, this is what I'm going to do. Yeah.
That's a good point, Kate. I'm pissed.
She built a woman's hospital. She built soup kitchens that fed thousands of people every day. Mm-hmm. And of course, her husband is away a lot, you know, conquering new land. He's out on campaign, whatever. And so she's like doing good at home. But they would send poems and love letters to each other.
Mm-hmm.
But while he was away, she feared for the safety of her sons, especially as they got older, because like the battle of the sons was getting closer.
Yeah.
And like, you know, he's out
the older
fighting
he gets,
war too, like something could happen.
Mm.
The,
it is so interesting how kings would go and fight wars.
To battle.
It's like, why?
I know. Just why for go? Honor or
maybe
to show
maybe
valor.
Like that. Yeah.
You know, they justified it somehow, I'm sure. Like men. But the army and the Grand Vizier, who was like the right-hand man to Suleiman, mm-hmm. Who was also married to his sister, So like mm-hmm. family and his right hand man.
Keeping it tight.
This guy's name was Ibrahim. They favored the son of her old rival, Mihidavran.
Yes.
So okay. like Mihidavran, you know, the first favorite and like the mother of the eldest son of Solomon.
Mm-hmm.
And Ibrahim, the right-hand man, he was arrogant. He was wealthy. And Hiram was like, informed her husband that he was accepting bribes, which was clearly like unacceptable. Yeah. And he was like bragging of his power, being like, my lord will like listen to whatever I say and like I can make him do whatever I want. And she, of course, informed him of this and his behavior. And the Sultan had his right hand man killed.
Ooh,
so because she's okay. like, and like he, that right hand man liked the son of her enemy for the next. So she's like, great.
Getting
these people out of the way. I need to secure
she's playing the game.
My safety for my son. Because like, even the other, she knows that the other sons are going to have to die. So whatever one is chosen, at least she's like, at least one of my sons will live, needs to live and be Sultan.
Right.
But her oldest son and the second oldest son die of smallpox. So that's two sons down.
Okay.
And Prince Mustafa, who is Mihidavran's son, everyone's favorite to become Sultan. He's like a war hero. He's the ideal candidate.
Of course, yeah.
And she's like, this cannot be. So she forms an alliance with the new right-hand man and marries her daughter to him. And she starts saying like, we need to work together.
She is in politics.
She's conniving. She is.
Women in politics.
Yeah, it is. And he started whispering slander against Mustafa into the Sultan's ear, saying like, he wants to overthrow you. He wants to be Sultan. Like, this is a lie.
Mm-hmm.
So this is like, she's like really fucking around with people's like livelihoods and lives, literal lives. But she's doing what she has to do, I guess.
Right.
And Mustafa hears these allegations against him and rushes to present day Iran, where his father is with his army.
Mm-hmm.
And before he has a chance to even defend himself, guards seize him and strangle him while his father like proudly watches on because he's like, you're a traitor. Yeah. So, Hiram. Yeah, I know. It's sad. You're like, oh, that's bad.
Playing dirty.
Yeah. She is blamed for the murder of this popular prince because like people think, you know, she's a witch, she's conniving, she's like getting people to do what she wants.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But now like nothing stands in the way really of one of her sons becoming the next Sultan.
Mm-hmm.
So her youngest son allegedly died of grief after Mustafa died because that was like his half brother who he loved. Yeah. And several resources said that. So I thought that's interesting.
Yeah.
So that's two brothers as rivals to the throne now. She, unfortunately, did not even get to see what would happen because she fell ill in her 50s and her husband would stay by her bedside. But she died in April of 1558.
Okay.
R.I.P. Hiram. Bad bitch. Did what you had to do, I guess.
Yeah.
Following her death, one son took up arms against his dad and his brother.
Oh.
Like, are you dumb?
Just wait.
Yeah, exactly. Saying like, I want this or whatever. I'm going to be Sultan or whatever. And he was executed as a traitor. So.
Yikes.
Suleiman becomes very religious. He comes very sad once his wife died. He like rejects all luxury. He eats out of simple earthenware bowls and wears linen, you know, becomes a saint essentially.
Right. Uh-huh.
And he died 8 years later and is buried with Hiram. And their only living son becomes Sultan Selib II. And for the next 100 years, the mothers of the harem would have more power than ever before because, like, she led the way until more, like, strict legislation was passed again.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that's the story of Harem Sultan and the Ottoman harem.
Whoa.
So fascinating, right?
That's a crazy story. I love that.
I love it, too.
Yeah. I love learning about, you know, other histories like this.
Yes, I know. Very interesting. Yeah. I loved it. I was like, this is was so, so fun to research. Like, what a fun, interesting ride.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. Thank you. I for sure wouldn't have been able to be political or survive in a harem.
Absolutely not.
I'd be like, keep my head down.
Totally.
Eat you my dates.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Go read some scrolls.
go to the bath.
Yeah. Yeah. Get some facials. Like.
Yeah.
I know. I would not be stirring things up.
I know. Mm-hmm. I'd be too scared, I think.
Yeah. I know. But good job to the ladies.
I know. Did. Well, she saw her opportunity. She took it.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
For sure.
With great that beauty so comes great responsibility.
This is not a unique story, really, because of Josephine.
I know. Yeah. And
Justin.
Mm-hmm.
Justinian.
Yeah. Yeah, they're totally in that same category.
Yeah. Wild. Mm-hmm. Wild. Okay. So would you like me to do the mini topic now?
Yeah, let's go.
We previously have talked about coffee culture on the pod before, but we're going to talk about a specific coffee custom in Turkey and how it plays a major role in weddings today.
Oh.
So in traditional Turkish weddings, planning of weddings can't happen until the kız isteme. I think that's how you say it.
Okay.
And it's this ritual where parents of the groom pay a visit to the, you know, fiance's home to ask for her hand in marriage. So like before they wouldn't know each other, but obviously it's modern times now. So they would already probably be engaged and just do like the formal asking, you know?
Okay. Oh, right.
So for Muslim families, a key part of this step is taking part in a custom that dates back to early days of Islam, when the groom's family visits the bride's house and they would sort of do the discussions. They would haggle, they would, you know, like basically make these plans, and they wouldn't know each other, like the bride and groom wouldn't know each other. It was the opportunity for the future bride and groom to meet for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
If the bride was fond of the groom, she would prepare coffee with sugar because she would be in charge of preparing the coffee for this discussion, right?
Uh-huh.
For everyone. So if she didn't like the prospective candidate, she would put salt in his coffee. And so today, now, because it's fun, and just cheeky.
Yeah.
Brides always put, or fiancés put salt in the coffee.
Oh, and that's cute.
And it's sort of like a measure to see if the groom will be able to finish the cup of coffee without displaying his disgust or displeasure. And it basically shows that he's like a good tempered person, kind to sort of like do whatever his wife wants to do.
Yeah.
Whatever his wife makes. Yeah. Wow. He'll support her.
Yeah. Cute.
Yeah. Like I said, obviously couples normally, like nowadays, they're engaged already. Mm-hmm. They have met, you know, go on dates, but it's just a lighthearted tradition that couples still do.
That is so cute. Wow. This ep is so for the girls. Like every app, but like girls. This one is so for the girls.
Yeah, I know.
I love that.
Cute. I love that one. And you know how I learned that one?
From your TV shows.
My Turkish show. Bitsies. My early bird. Dizzies. Yes. Dizzies. I love it. There's a couple Dizzies I've seen that do this, and it's fun.
Mm-hmm.
Just cute.
Yeah.
And it's really like, they're like, this coffee's for you.
Uh-huh.
And they give it to their, fiance, and they're like, just take it, just down it. It's very cute.
Love that. What's your recommendation for me?
So I'm going to switch it up a little bit. It's a winter dish that they make in Rome.
Okay.
And it's called puntarelle alla romana. And it's just like bitter greens with garlicky anchovy dressing.
I need to try this.
You can only get it in winter, and it's addicting.
I have to try that.
We went to this restaurant last winter with one of my friends, and we both of us took one bite and we were like, yeah, waiter, literally just bring another one. That's just bring another one right away.
Yeah. And it's always, I feel like they cut it very specifically.
Yes.
Like, I've only seen pictures fibrous. Of it.
Yeah. Yes.
Oh, I see. Okay.
So it's like a specific way. You have to like put it through this. I don't know if it's not a machine. It's like you put it through this.
Like a shredder? Like it's shredded almost?
Yeah. But it's like you just put it through and it's like squares.
Yeah.
I don't know. Okay. Whatever. Anyway, it's like you see the ladies doing it at the markets in Rome and they're just like pouring it through so you can.
I need to go.
It's already prepared for your salad.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yum. Yeah. I have to try. Mm-hmm. And like an anchovy vinaigrette. Done.
I mean, what's
done deal?
What's there? I just say if it's on a menu somewhere at an Italian restaurant, absolutely get it this winter.
Good. I will.
What about you? What's your rec?
Okay. So my recommendation is a product, of course. It is the La Roche-Posay hyaluronic acid. I have never used it before.
Mm-hmm.
I am loving it just because, you know, it's winter. No matter where I go, like LA, I went to New York. I was home in Wisconsin. Like it is dry winter air everywhere. Horrible. And I didn't bring this with me. And any of my travels, I did not bring it with me. And like, I've been using it now since I'm back in LA and it has saved me. I just use it in addition to my Embryolisse, obviously.
Yeah.
But yeah, the La Roche-Posay hyaluronic acid. It's delicious. It's almost like feels like snail mucin. Like it's kind of like sticky.
Oh,
sticky like that and like thick.
Yeah.
It's really nice. I highly recommend and I got it at Target, so it's easily accessible.
Accessible.
Yeah.
Here in the US.
Yeah.
Nice. Nice. Yeah. All right. So I'll end with the word of the day.
Okay.
And it actually goes along with both of our things.
Good.
The word of the day is gunul.
Gunul.
And it means heart. But so there are three words in Turkish that mean heart. And it does not mean physical heart. It means like the heart or like soul of something. It means like you put your heart into it. Obviously, we know that it's not your physical heart because that's not true, right? But you put like your gonul.
Yeah,
your
I love that. That is an important distinction.
Distinction. I know.
I wish we had that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, lovely. Gonul. Mm-hmm. Love that. Good
gonul.
One.
Gonul.
Gonul. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Love that. Well, thank you everyone for tuning in.
Thank you.
We'll catch you next time. Ciao.
Ciao.